Greetings from Hosanna Free Lutheran Church in St. James, Minnesota. Our goal for this radio broadcast is that you might grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the goal for everything that we do, whether it's our 9 a.m. Sunday school, our 10:30 worship, or our men's and women's Bible studies. If there's any way that we can help you grow further in your relationship with Jesus, please do not hesitate to contact us. We pray that this would bless you.
Luke 17, verses 1 through 4. And I read in Jesus' name. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." Let's pray. Father, as we come now to study your word and to apply it to our lives, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in us to guide us in that application and in this understanding. Lord, that you might be glorified in us and that we might become more like Christ. Father, this is what we desire. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I'm entitled this sermon, Sin and Forgiveness, because that's really what it's about, and I'm not all that clever. And so, you know, I see these pastors with these really cool titles for things, and it's like, I don't know how they do that. And so I'm sorry, I can't do that. They spend their time thinking about cool titles. That might be. I do know some people that it's just natural, and they come up with titles for things, though, too. And so maybe it's that as well. But as we look at this, the first thing that I want you to observe is that this is to the disciples. So this isn't to the world. He's not talking to the Pharisees anymore. He's not talking to the crowds. He's speaking specifically to his disciples. And that's important because as we interact with sin, we don't improve the world by getting the world to stop doing individual sins. That's not how the world works. Because if the world is dying of cancer and we help them to fix their toenail, it helps, but it's not the point. You know, they've got a bigger problem. The bigger problem that the world's interacting with is that they need Jesus, and they don't have him. And so, when we're talking about growth in spiritual maturity, there really isn't any growth in spiritual maturity until the world becomes Christians, until they become disciples of Christ. And so that's the level at which we interact with the world. That's our primary goal. But when we're interacting with Christians, we need to start talking about and seeing, okay, what does sin do to us? How do we interact with sin or not interact with sin? Well, we still have to deal with it. So how do we do that? What does this look like? And so as we think about these things as Christians, we need to approach it understanding, okay, there's going to be sin. What do we do? So the first question that I ask as I came to this text is, well, what is sin? You know, in some of our confessions of sin, we talk about sinning in thought, word, and deed. You know, and so then we talk about sin in terms of things that we do. So thoughts that I'm thinking, deeds that I'm doing, words that I'm saying. You know, and that is sin. But sin is also bigger than just that. It isn't just the things that I do. Because my thoughts aren't just things that I think. They are also things that I engage with. So I sin against God when I think thoughts that lower God in my mind, that go against what God would have me think as I engage with those. So sin is something that goes against or leads me away from God. Because it's oftentimes centered upon selfishness, therefore I'm trying to glorify me, or it's centered upon self-reliance. Now I don't have to rely on God, I can rely on me, which ultimately glorifies me instead of glorifying God. I'm exalting me instead of exalting God. So sin is that which exalts me as opposed to God. That's primary way of thinking about sin. Because, so think about the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what was Satan's temptation to them? You will be like God, knowing good from evil. And so God knows good from evil. Here's how you become like him. Now you're going to know good and evil. You don't have to rely on him. You don't have to look to him. You don't have to listen to him. You're going to know this yourself. And so these temptations to sin are sure to come. There's going to be times in your life, places in your life, where you are going to be tempted, whether that comes from inside of you or comes from outside of you, to rely on yourself instead of to rely on God. To look to yourself instead of looking to God. To exalt yourself instead of exalting God. These things are sure to come. And they're going to come in all aspects of your life. They're going to come in your mind. They're going to come in your thoughts. And so as I become frustrated with my children, not that it ever happens to my children. As I become frustrated with them, why am I becoming frustrated with them? Because they're not doing what I'm telling them to do right now. Well, why aren't they doing that? Like, what's going on inside of me? Now I am exalting myself instead of me training my children. Like we talked about that in our Ecclesiastes class. You know, instead of holding high what God holds high, the people, I'm holding high something else, the task, my time, there's all sorts of options. My glory, you know, I see one of my children cutting up in front of other people. You can't do that. What do they think of us? Oh, I don't actually care much about that, so sorry. But, you know, those are things. Now I'm holding up me instead of holding up high what I hold high instead of holding up high what God holds high. Instead of relying on him for guidance, I'm trusting me. So this is what sin is. And we interact with sin at thought. We interact with sin at emotion. So if I'm believing lies about God or I'm interacting with lies about God, I'm sinning in my mind. Now what happens when I react to things in an ungodly manner? When I become frustrated when God tells me to be patient. Where I become angry when God tells me to listen. Become angry and attack when God tells me to listen. To absorb. What happens when I become happy when someone else is hurting? Because they deserved it. No, am I reacting to that situation in a godly way? Can my emotions actually be ungodly? Yeah. And so if my emotions are ungodly, now I'm sinning emotionally. Can my desires be ungodly? Yeah. So the things that I want, the things that I pursue, my will, this is how we often talk about will. My desires, the things that I'm searching for and trying to get to, my desires, they can be ungodly. If I am desiring something for me instead of desiring something for God, that becomes ungodly. I want this so that I don't have to rely on God. I want to have lots of money so I don't have to trust God to provide for me. I want to have lots of health so I don't have to trust God to provide for me. I want lots of time so then I don't have to trust God to get things done. Because when God makes me short on time, now I have to trust him to get things done instead of me getting things done. I want lots of something so that I don't have to trust God, so I don't have to rely on God, so I don't have to look to God, so I don't have to hope in God. And that's what sin is, because then that drives me away from God. It allows me to leave God behind because now I can rely on me. And it's the exact same thing as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so I can have sin in my mind, I can have sin in my emotions, and I can have sin in my desires when those things do not represent God properly, when they lead me away from God. So then, where do those things come from? Why do I sin in the way that I sin? It's because of the people around me. Jesus says, temptations to sin are sure to come. So there's going to be people that are going to encourage you in these. The reasons that we have face the temptations that we face, the specific temptations, not the reason we face temptation, mind you. If I had all godly people around me, I would still face temptation. Why? Because I am sinful. I come with me. You know, when Jesus' disciples, you think they were free of temptation? They got to hang around with Jesus. But we still see that Judas was tempted. And he fell. And so even when we have good people around us, that doesn't mean we're not going to have temptation. It just determines which temptations we have. It would be better. Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. Be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. And so then the people around us, they're going to guide us, because the things that they are being tempted in, those things we're also going to be tempted in. Because they're going to hold something high. If Nassim Taleb, I don't remember which book of it was, he said, if you want to feel rich, hang out with people with less money than you. If you want to feel poor, hang out with people with more money than you. Because now you're going to be comparing yourself to them. If you're hanging out with poor people, you're like, hey, I'm not struggling with the things that they're struggling with. Because we measure ourselves based upon the people that we're around. And so the things that Brian holds high, as Brian's friend, as I interact with Brian, the things that Brian exalts in, I'm going to measure myself against those too. And I'm going to start to pursue those. Because he influences me. Because I'm plastic, not made of plastic, but moldable. I don't know why they use that word. We should be clayish. Yeah, well, whatever. But we're moldable. And so the thing that we're, the people that we're around, they're going to change us. So one of the reasons that I'm not tempted towards alcoholism is I don't have any friends around me that drink much at all. I just don't, for whatever reason. And because of that, I'm not tempted towards that end. You know, I'm not tempted. Cigarettes don't tempt me at all. Why? Well, partly the same thing. And so what I'm tempted in is what you guys are tempted in. How can I do this the cheapest way possible? Anybody else here represent that? Yeah, there's a couple of us. Yeah. You know, this is the sin that we are tempted towards, that I'm tempted towards, and part of that is reflected in the friends that I have, because part of that comes from you guys, and then what comes from me goes to you guys as well, and so it's reciprocal. Now, is that all bad? No, but there's temptations within that, and so we have to be careful with that, because the people that we're around affect us, and they affect us in every way. And so when I'm hanging out with Christians, their theologies, their doctrines, the way that they interact with God is going to affect me. That's why Jesus here says, watch yourselves, because the people that you're around, they're going to affect you. So when I was in college, I hung around with people with certain theologies, and those things started to have an effect on me. When I was in high school, I had friends from various theological backgrounds. Those things started to affect me. These are our groups, and they affect us. So watch yourselves, because the friends that you have, they're going to hold this thing high. You're going to be drawn into that as well, and that has temptations within it. Is it bad to have money? No, but there are bad ways of interacting with money. So me being stingy, and I'm going to use that word on me, not you guys, me being stingy isn't always good. There are times when it is, and there are times when it's not. Although at the same time, someone being a spendthrift, well, that can be generous, and that's good. And then there are times when they're wasteful, and that's bad. And so, yeah, people don't use the word spendthrift anymore, do they? I gotta fix that. You guys should start using the word spendthrift so I don't have to change my vocabulary. But you might notice as well, the more you hang out with me, the more I hear you guys using some of my words. And I know they're my words because they don't exist in the wild. Nobody else uses them unless they're reading books from the 1800s. But the tempters that we have come from the groups that we're in. The temptations that we have comes from the groups that we're in, which is also great. And you know why that's great? Because as I learn to deal with the temptations that I have, I can now share those with you guys. And as you guys learn to deal with those temptations, you can share that with me. But then we actually have to be open about our temptations. No, I'm tempted to be stingy. How do I learn to deal with that? Really, it's through giving. Now, I'm not the best giver in the world, and there's other people that are far more diligent in it and whatnot, but this is how we deal with it, and this is how we deal with sin. This is how we watch ourselves, because it's by being open and honest with each other, because the groups that we're in are going to lead us in temptations, but then the groups that we're in are also going to help lead us out of temptations. But what you need then is actual fellowship within that group. You need intimacy where you can talk about your temptations, your struggles. We need to do that. But we don't need to do that just for our catharsis. Thank you, Nathaniel. I got that word from him. See how our friends influence us? The catharsis, it makes me feel better. So we don't just, you ever been, what was that, John? A group of farmers in a basement. A wine cellar, that was it. And so what do you call a group of farmers in a basement? A wine cellar. All the farmers are like, that's not, yeah, that's true. And group of teachers also. Yeah, I suppose that works as well. But, you know, why do we whine and complain? Well, it kind of makes me feel better. You know, oh, there's other people who can, you know, they can associate with me in this. That's not why we confess as Christians. We don't confess as Christians just to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We confess as Christians, we're open and honest about our temptations and about our struggles. One, so that we can comfort those who are going through those same struggles. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians. But also, it's so that we can learn to be comforted by others going through those same struggles. Because, I'm the only one who deals with this. You know what? I bet you you're not. I'm the only one that's tempted towards this. I'm the only one that gets frustrated with this. Pretty sure that there are other people whose children might irritate them too. Maybe. And your children might irritate them too. Or whatever. You know, whatever level. Why do we have fellowship? Why do we watch ourselves? Ourselves, not just individually, but as a group? So that we can all grow and that we can learn. So then as I'm open and honest about that, that leads us into confession. Because, you know, if I have Lon confess to me, you know, we're in a group and Lon's talking about it, and he's like, you know, my pastor's really starting to annoy me, and I happen to be in that group. Now I'm going to ask Lon, which things are they that annoy you about me? Because probably not going to be the thing. It's going to be multiple. Because now I'm sinning against Lon. But how do I know that I'm sinning against Lon unless Lon's open with me? Because this is what fellowship brings. You know, this is one of the blessings of being married to Kirsten. She's open with me about my feelings. Don't you men wish you were so lucky? Remember that, ladies. Yeah. So then what do we do? When I sin against my wife, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to confess and repent. Forgive me for that. Yeah, that's sin. You know, and the same thing goes both ways. I'm supposed to be open and honest with her. Forgive me for that. Because this is how we deal with sin. So I was talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about resilience versus reliance. Resilience is when you're tough in and of yourself. You get pushed down and you pop back up. You know, and that's you are trusting in yourself. You are strong in yourself. How many of you strive to be resilient? I know I do. I don't want to just crumble under pressure, but I also then don't want to go to God. I want to rely on Joe because that's the way that's the temptation that I struggle with, and I'm guessing that some of you probably struggle with that too. And so as I've learned that I can't rely on Joe, I can't actually be resilient because I'm not resilient. I crumble under pressure, and then it causes me to sin. It brings sin in my life. When I'm under pressure, and my wife has revealed this failing in me too, when I'm under pressure, I become crabby. I know, right? You guys can't even imagine it. Pastor Joe being crabby. Right? 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 Right. Thank you. Sure. Of course, Joe. But I'm not resilient because I become crabby. And so then I try to drive people away so that I can be left alone so that pressure can go away. Instead of relying on God. And we were talking about this, and it was really fascinating. And then this person said something just fantastic at the end of it. She's like, I have to learn, or I have to really struggle to become reliant. Like, wait, you have to learn to be tougher to become reliant on God. Oh, we don't learn reliance through our own effort. We can't. We learn reliance through failure, through surrender, through trust. Picking up on that surrender word, that's how we learn reliance. I have to give up. I have to submit to Christ. Lord, you are the one that's in charge, not me. I'm not in control of the situation. I can't fix it. Lord, you have to. And so then as we are learning to do those things, we can then interact with others and help teach others, because that's how we deal with our sins before God. Father, forgive me. I've been resilient instead of reliant. And so if that's how we interact with God, how then ought we interact with each other? In the exact same way. And so if someone comes to me in confession, Joe, I've sinned against you, forgive me. Or I see that what I was doing was sinning against you. And not, I'm not saying, you know, this isn't just being hurtful or Joe being irritating. It might just be that. It probably isn't. But these are sins. You know, sometimes things in my personality are going to rub you guys wrong. Is that a sin? No. You know, Kirsten and I joke about when we were first married, the biggest fight that we had was really time. She thought we had more of it, and I thought we had less of it. You know, she would show up to places early, and if I wasn't 15 minutes early, I was late. And that bothered me. Who was sinning? Her showing up on time or me showing up early? I hope neither of those is a sin. Hope showing up early isn't a sin. But part of my personality irritated her. Part of her personality irritated me. We had to work through those things. That wasn't sin. Sin is actually when I'm doing things that harm your relationship with God, that harm you, and that go against what God has called me to do. That's not in love. It's not in honor. It's not in support. It's not in protection. It's not in blessing. It's to hurt and to harm and to take away. That's sin. And when we find we have sin in our lives, we repent. When someone repents to us, what do? We forgive. Because it's through forgiveness that grace is made known. It's through forgiveness that growth comes. It isn't through punishment. It isn't through penance. It's not through those things. It's not through, well, I'm just going to beat myself up enough. And maybe if I am sorry enough, they'll forgive me. If I'm sorry enough to be forgiven, is that really forgiveness? Because now you've earned it. Good job. Jim.
Being irritated.
Okay.
So irritation would be a temptation. How you respond to irritation could be sin.
Correct. And so Jim said, someone irritates me, now I'm being tempted. How do I deal with that temptation? If I deal with that temptation in a godly manner, there's nothing wrong. If I deal with that temptation in an ungodly manner, then that becomes sin, and I need to repent. Then I need to confess, and I need to receive forgiveness. Well, when I'm crabby and hard on my wife, I then need to go to her and ask Kirsten to forgive me, because it's not whatever she was doing or not doing was irritating me, but that's not her fault that irritation caused me to sin. My sin is the thing that caused me to sin. And so then I need to go to her. She can't come to me and say, Joe, I'm sorry that I was irritating you when I was doing dishes instead of whatever. I don't really have a good example right offhand. Should have thought through that beforehand. Well, I can't think through everything. But so then why confession? Why forgiveness? Because this is the way that God wants us to work with him. And so then we mirror that in the people that we're around. We confess, we repent. We don't just wait for things to go away. We try to have fellowship with one another and learn to work with these things. And that's not easy. It's not going to be easy for you guys doing this with me, because I'm irritating at times. I'm sorry. I am. And I know that because I'm weird. But as we learn to interact with each other, it's going to grow us in our relationship with Christ. So be careful. Temptations to sin are sure to come. And woe to that one that tempts you to sin, that's guiding you in that. And no, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. Be careful with those people that are encouraging you in your sin, that are encouraging you to sin. Because there's going to be people in your life that are going to do that. And they are going to encourage you to sin. Because they think that that sin is what's right. This isn't just among the world. This is among Christians too. So be careful with that. But then as we interact with each other, as Christians, we're going to learn then how to deal with these temptations and how to work through them. Because if I am living in sin, I'm going to be causing you guys to be tempted towards sin. And if you guys don't bring that up to me, it's going to cause issues in your life as well and in your relationship with Christ. Does this make sense? So then we need each other in this because we watch ourselves. We need the community. We need the group. We need fellow Christians. We need wisdom, we need guidance that doesn't come just from God to me, but comes through from God through you to me. Yeah. These temptations of sin are sure to come. And if I'm alone, I'm going to be sucked into them. I'm not strong enough myself. I need you guys. And believe it or not, you guys need you guys too. Because we're not strong enough to do this on our own. And when we leave the group, we harm ourselves and the group. So what do? When that happens in our group, we forgive. Well, what if they don't repent? We forgive, and we wait for them to come to us so that we can forgive them, so that they can receive that absolution through us. Because that always comes up too. Well, what if they don't repent? I still forgive in my heart. Ready and waiting for the time when I get to forgive. In reality, not in reality. Forgive in time. How about that? Okay. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I ask that you'd bless us. You'd help us to work through these things and understand these things. Lord, that your kingdom might actually come even through these temptations. That you would use them to build us up, to guide us into your truth. Lord, through the body and through us as individuals, because we all need each other. Every part and parcel. Lord, because you have made us a body, your body, we thank you for that. Help us to not lead others in temptation. Help us to also not receive those temptations from others. Lord, but rather to be honest and true and humble in our interactions. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.